Good evening. Oh, okay. Alright, here we go. Good evening. Good evening. Yeah. What was that, that scary guy? What was
Boris
that?
Karloff? Is that his name?
Alfred Hitchcock presents or something.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is the Mr. National Podcast. Thanks for joining myself and my main man, P Double.
What
Mr.
up?
Paul Pate. One of the baddest artists, graphic novel joints. You know, the books are awesome, Paul. They are awesome.
Thanks.
I'm thumbing through one.
Is it engaging at all? I mean,
yeah. Rust City and the detective dude. He's,
yeah.
I've just started. He's talking to Bubba.
The Bubba, the vampire hunter.
Yeah. It's good stuff, folks. www.paulpate.com. Get over there. Get some of these magazines, these books. They are excellent, excellent work.
I got a 15-minute movie on the Bubba, the vampire hunter.
There you go.
See,
I didn't even
movie.
Know that. See, I'm learning. This is my podcast, and I'm learning stuff about P Double right now. You know,
I have to show you that.
Yeah, you got to show me that. Well, this is the podcast, and like I say, we're new to this, so I hope you guys are and gals are that's listening is bearing with us as we each show. We try to add a little something to it and try to get better with each one. So hopefully we are living up to your expectations.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. We're coming a little bit better than the last time.
That's it. What's that thing? Be better than yesterday and something. I got to look that up.
A Kobe Bryant quote or something?
Yeah. I don't know if it was Kobe, but something about being better than yesterday, but and something then better tomorrow or something. I'll look it up after the podcast, you know.
Yeah.
and as in tradition, you know, we get to our point, our part of the show, always in the beginning, the Nat Rat rant. Mr. National gets irrational.
What is bothering you today?
All right, here it is. Here it is, P-Double. It's these folks that's talking about the T.O. thing, and he should have been there, you know, at the Hall of Fame ceremony. He should have been there, you know. Or the thing with LeBron, you know, LeBron started this new school in Akron, and now they saying, you know, that's great. I applaud LeBron. And then they saying, well, why this guy don't do it with his money? And, you know, so people that's always trying to tell other people where they should be, what they should do, and how they should spend their money. Getting back to T.O., you know, just the Hall of Fame weekend just passed. You know, the game was on Thursday, and the ceremony was on Saturday evening. Mm-hmm. All great speeches. T.O. decided not to be in Canton. He chose to go to his college, Tennessee Chattanooga, and, you know, have his ceremony right there, you know, where he says where it all started, you know. And looking at it, here's my take, P-Double, you know. I understand where he was coming from. He was pissed. He was pissed at the whole NFL, the whole process of keeping him out of the Hall of Fame. Here's a guy who his numbers say he should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right.
Okay?
How many years did he go?
Jeez, that one we're going to need you to look up. I'm going to say about 12 or 13. But
been
the guy's number.
It's been that long? Man.
And you start with the San Fran. Then he went to the Eagles. Then he went to the Cowboys. Then he went to, I think Cincinnati or Buffalo. He went to Buffalo, then Cincinnati. Everywhere he went, he put up numbers.
Oh, man.
Never no bad seasons, you know. Not knocking Moss, who had some bad years here and there, you know. Mm-hmm. But T.O. was consistent, okay?
Right.
Now, here's a guy's numbers say first year ballot. Okay, so, all right, maybe he don't go in first year. Okay, you know, Jerry Rice went and he wasn't all-time everything. So second year, they snubbed him again. All right, now His third year, you're going to put him in, right? You're going, okay, he's voted in. Now you're putting him in with a guy that he was compared to all his career, Randy Moss, and you put him in his first year.
Right.
Because, quote, unquote, you know, he's one of us now. Moss was just as much of a distraction and a diva off the field antics, even on the field, where sometimes he never even ran off the line of scrimmage if he knew the play wasn't going to him. But Moss, when Moss saw what they were doing to T.O., Moss was like, you know, I'm gonna clean up my image. I'm gonna put a suit on, I'm gonna put the tie on, and I'm gonna go in the studio.
Yeah.
And that was his freeway right to first year being a first ballot guy.
Right.
So that, you know, that's what's pissing me off. These people are saying, oh, he should have went, T.O. I see why he didn't go. Because why would you go if you're not happy and then be faking it? You know, you gotta be fake happy with all these people.
Right.
That's my rant. And that goes right into, you know, we wanted to talk about, you can't have any show, especially sports, and not talk about the Hall of Fame ceremony. You know, I think of all the Hall of Fames, I think football does theirs the best. Really enjoy the whole experience of it. The speeches, I mean, I can't really pick a favorite. I know the theme was thanking God and, you know, Ray Lewis really went to church on his. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I have my little opinion about that one. Ray, that guy that you just maimed, on the, you know, that's laying down there on the 40-yard line. Did God want you to do that? You know?
Yeah, right.
Hey, I don't know about that.
He can talk. You talk about me, Pete Double, being a talker. That man.
Hey, I put you up against Ray Lewis any day, man.
No way. They say he talked a long time. He still wasn't the all-time minutes. Brett Favre got him beat. Brett Favre talked longer. Yeah, Brett Favre is number one.
Watch Brett Favre.
Yeah, Brett Favre was 38 minutes, maybe 37. Wow. Ray Lewis was 33 or 34 minutes, something like that.
Hmm.
So, but here's the thing: everybody stays behind the podium. About everybody has
he started noticed. Off, man. Right out.
Ray Lewis had a wireless microphone. He got fitted for a wireless mic. He was all over the stage, man. He was so energetic.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing. I was like, this dude is something else.
Huh.
But what stuck out to me again, you know, other than, you know, everybody was, you know, the religious part about it, but the stories of how, you know, these guys overcome. I mean, it's, you know, single homes, and it's a lot of stuff. That you never know, that these, you know, poverty and everything. So
And you know, I don't know about you, but I hear a lot about, like, all these prima donna athletes. You know, they get paid too much to play a game. I'm like, you know, somebody's writing the check, first of all.
Right.
So, what about that guy, you know?
Right,
you know,
right.
He's paying them, right? So he's not going to pay him more than he makes.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
And they're the ones. I mean, they're the ones. Plus, they played in college, bring in millions of dollars for free.
Yes.
And it ain't like it's not like it's a golf team. You know what I mean?
No.
You know,
you're right.
You got Ray Lewis playing college football. That means somebody's got to take his hit. You know what I mean?
Right. That dude was a hitter too. I mean, He brought it every week. Every week that dude brought it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, T.O. was the first ballot, just based on, you watch one game of his, he was one of those guys that's head and shoulders physically above the rest, you know?
He ran every pattern, P-double.
Yeah,
he blocked, and he did everything.
He didn't drop passes, you know?
No. A little bit.
I was
a 49er fan. He would drop a few. I remember the game against Green Bay, the one when he caught the one to win it. He was dropping everything.
Oh, okay.
He did have a little case of the dropsies, but You got the ball in his hand.
Yeah, he was dangerous.
He was dangerous, dude. He was dangerous.
And, I mean, Randy Moss was dangerous too, but I didn't feel like he was a workhorse, you know.
No,
they're both a head case, you know.
Right, but yeah, they put the word diva in wide receiver.
But, you know, my thing on that is if you get a, you know, like the Cowboys there for a while were head case central. And then Jimmy Johnson came in there, and they had a bunch of him. Michael Irvin, premier example. To me, he wasn't a great teammate, but he had Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, that whole offensive line of like almost a Hall of Fame offensive line.
Yes,
you know, killer defensive line, a couple of great defensive backs. You weren't going to horse around on that team. They were all about winning.
Yeah.
You know, and
the culture, as they say, the culture was winning. You know,
right,
what I mean?
You can be whatever you want to be. When we're out on this field, it's about the Cowboys, you know,
mm-hmm.
or it's about the team. And if T.O. went to that team, he'd have been right in line, you know.
Absolutely.
So a great example of that to me was Rasheed Wallace. Remember Rasheed Wallace when he played for Portland?
Yes.
I hated that dude, man. Every game he'd get a technical foul. One season he had like 38 technical fouls or something.
Yeah.
He's retarded, you know. He got to Detroit, they were looking at a championship, and they weren't relying on him. You know, he wasn't the focus.
Right.
So
right.
Then all of a sudden it was like, hey, I better clean up my act, you know. And he was right in line. They won a championship. So,
they did.
You know what I'm saying? So
Right. He went to the same high school as I did.
Rasheed? Oh,
yeah,
really?
I know him a little bit, you know.
Oh, really?
Not as good as folks I know P Double, but yeah, I do. Rasheed Wallace, yeah.
Well, we gotta get him on the show then.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do. He ain't much of a talker though, you know.
Oh, well, shit! You get him out on the basketball court.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, that's it. You know, double personalities. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But yeah, she was a technical machine. Got drafted by the Washington Bullets.
Oh, really?
And,
okay.
Drafted by the Bullets with Chris Webber and Juwan Howard. Then he got sent to Portland, and then he became an All-Star with Portland. Then went to Detroit, and they were a team, brother. They were a team.
Yeah, when he was in Portland, man, he had that turnaround off the glass. You couldn't stop it.
He had that
man,
shot.
I thought he could have been the best player in the NBA when I was watching.
He had that shot in high school, P Double.
Oh, really?
They would throw. Yeah, Coach Ellaby, Bill. He would flash to the free throw line.
Right.
Hold the ball up high over his head, turn, pivot, and just shoot it. He had great touch and he was fluid.
Right.
I mean, back in high school.
Really? I'm sure.
You know, he was 6'9". He was 6'9", 6'10" back then in high school. And you just knew he was going to be, you know, a next level player.
Yeah.
He was awesome. And he didn't really have the gaudy numbers. Here's something people might not know. Wallace didn't have the gaudy numbers in high school because they were beating teams by 40, 30, 20 points by halftime. He would only play a half. They would only need him for the first half of most of the games. That's why his stats. Weren't 48 points a game, 17 rebounds, and 10 blocks, and all that stuff. He only played a half of a game. They were blowing out teams that much. The number one, he might have been the number one or number two high schooler in his year coming out. I think Stackhouse might have been number one.
Oh, yeah, Stackhouse was a scorer.
Yeah,
he was in Washington, too.
Yeah, well, he got drafted by the Sixers.
Wow.
Yeah, Stackhouse was number two pick. And going back a little bit.
Yeah, we're getting sidetracked.
The first game of the season of that draft class, the Sixers home, the number one, they opened at home. The first game was against the Wizards and Rasheed Wallace. So,
oh, okay.
I was there. The Simon Grant Bulldog Nation was in the building. It was, you know, to come see Rasheed and the Sixers. I think it was 1995. And it was a packed house.
Wow.
So
back to the Hall of Fame.
Back to the
Hall of Fame. So yeah, back then I was watching NBA basketball because I had kind of sworn off of football for a little while. mm-hmm. because of I felt like the guys that are playing are going to be endangered species.
Wow.
And like, you had made a comment recently about the Hall of Fame running backs.
Absolutely.
What is that about?
I think that you will see a running back getting in. I think a LaDainian Tomlinson was the last running back
in Dallas. The movie star.
Yeah, right. I don't think you're going to see many more running backs, P-double, going in because of the NFL has devalued the running back position. You see a lot of – you might see some studs. You got Gurley. You have a few. You know, you got that guy David Johnson in Arizona, kind of. You have Bell in Pittsburgh. You got Zeke in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
You have a few workhorses. Yeah. But
Thousand-yard rushers, you think?
Yeah, I mean, 1,000 ain't nothing, really, in 16 games. I mean, if you get 1,300 and above, you putting in work.
Right.
Okay, so I don't think you're going to see guys consistently getting 1,000 to 1,300 yards during their career to put up the type of numbers for Hall of Fame, unless they change the amount of numbers, you know what I mean? Change the grade for getting in.
Yeah, but they're always going to compare to the numbers from the older guys.
It's right, and they won't measure up. It's going to be a running back by committee. That's what you're seeing now in the NFL. I mean, Adrian Peterson, he's a Hall of Famer. Marshawn Lynch, I think, is a Hall of Famer, but it's debatable if he gets in. And I can't think rambling off the top of my head, P-Double, any other running backs that's jumping off the board that's going into the Hall of Fame.
Right, the guys you named stand a good chance if they keep it up, but the way that it's trending,
it's such a
passing game now.
Yes, it's a passing game, and the running backs are specialists. This guy for the Saints, Kamara, very good. But mm-hmm. he's a specialist. He's out of backfield. You get him the ball on the edges. He ain't the type of guy you're going to get a ball to 25 times, 30 times. That's what you had back in the day.
Right, control the clock, give it 25, 30.
You had a good quarterback, but your running back, who was your running? You had Riggins. You had Dorsett. What I mean? You had Roger.
Eric Dickerson. You give it to him 25, 30 times a game.
Dickerson, he was just warming up around 20 to 25.
Right.
You know what I mean? You just going to give that ball to him 30 times easy.
Right.
A game.
And then that 20th carry, he might break it.
He'll pop it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Marcus Allen. You had studs at the running back, and you don't have it.
Do you think the rules are what they're doing with the rules, make the game more passing oriented? I just think one of the things is that now the receivers are so big. You know, you got the Calvin Johnson type receiver.
Right. 6'5".
Yeah, you didn't have that back in the day. Like Harold Carmichael was the first, big guy.
But you had
more of the, the
Mark Dupers, the Mark brothers, the little 5'9", 5'10" guy. Yeah.
Throw it up, they can get it. But now you've got these giant receivers, and you got these super strong arms, so you can run it for three, four yards in a cloud of dust, or you could pass it for 3 or 4 yards just as consistently.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or you could pass it for 7 or 8.
Bill Walsh, the Bill Walsh West Coast, that little flare out, he's the one that started it.
Yeah, I think Bill Walsh started it. I think Bill Montana started it because he's so mobile and so accurate. Yeah,
so accurate. You know, you would throw the ball. The ball might travel 7, 8 yards in the air, maybe 2 yards forward, but it was basically a handoff to Tom Rathman or Roger Craig, Wendell Tyler. And that was the run play a lot of times.
Right. And then I think they've also, the rules, just with defensive backs and the way they, call it now.
They don't
let them get on as much physicality up on the line and stuff.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, P-Double. That 30 carry running back is an endangered species. Where are we going to go? Where we won't have a lot of running backs. In my estimate, I could be wrong, I don't just see a lot of running backs going in the Hall of Fame and talking about extinct. Uh-huh. What's up with these killer whales?
There's 75 of them now in the whole world.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, they're on dangerous.
That was orca. They got them all in Florida and SeaWorld.
Right. Yeah, 75 of them, and there's like 25 at SeaWorld. No, yeah. I think there's 75 in the wild, something like that.
Right, right.
So it's crazy, man. So there's like a task force trying to save them in the Puget Sound or something. But, I mean, all the stuff that we're doing is just kind of taking its toll on these killer whales.
Toll on them? I mean, yeah. What's killing them? Why are poachers? Are they like being hunted?
No. It's just like they're finding so they eat salmon. So the salmon population is going way down. So now they're getting, you know, they're getting.
Yeah, I tell you that. Yeah, salmon's expensive. I like salmon.
Salmon's in demand. So, and then the toxins they find in the salmon fat. So there's, if you take a salmon and find it, the fat layer, there's toxins in it. So, you know, there's a lot of a high mortality rate for these killer whales. So that limits their population. And then get a load of this, because I don't know where the Puget Sound is. I think that's up by New York or something, isn't it?
Never heard of it.
Okay. Anyway, wherever it is, the population is growing. So the boats, there's more boats and stuff like that, right?
Right.
But these killer whales, to find their food, they use echolocation. They got like this thing in their head.
That like a bat or something. Right.
And so with all the noise that the boats are making, it makes it harder for them to operate.
Right, the food, okay.
So all these factors are what is, you know.
Wiping them up.
Yep. And so but the good news is they have recommendations on what we need to do as, you know, humans in order to restore these, you know, restore the population.
The population. Yeah. Well, so they eat all the salmon. I don't know.
What it is you know, it's a glimpse into our future. So if we can't save the killer whales, you know, things are going to start getting out of whack. And so
right.
But the good news is if you have a positive outlook on things, is people are smart and we can figure this out.
You know what I mean? Hell yeah. And it's pretty smart that they realize it. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. I mean, exactly.
75 is a little low. That is crazy in the whole world. That's rare.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's a saying Smokestack has in Electric Football. He said that's as rare as a dodo bird.
Right. Yeah, killer whales go the way of the dodo bird.
Exactly. Now Stack's gonna have to change his sayings. Rare as a killer whale. Mm-hmm. I mean, before we leave the killer whale thing, Orca, that was a killer whale. That was a good movie.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was younger and watched that
did you cry?
That was excellent. Orca. I mean, you watch it now, it's probably flaky, but back then when it came out, I loved that movie, man. Orca. The killer whale.
Yeah, so anyway, the thing about it is guys like yourself with these great attitudes and willing to step out and try stuff is what's going to make the world a better place. And people like that, I'm not putting a lot of pressure on you, nothing that good.
Yeah, already done.
But I mean, they got a task force of people that are like, you know what, we can solve this problem. It's not just like, you know, you know, that kind of stuff is hokey pokey, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you said, they're smart enough to know that they're in danger. They're smart enough to know how to save them.
That's right.
So you just got to keep a positive attitude about things.
That's it. I mean, some people say that what they do to them in the SeaWorld and all the shows is, you know, cruelty and stuff. But those animals are very intelligent. I mean, the stuff that they learn. I mean, I don't know if it's cruel or not. But, you know, I mean, the ones in SeaWorld ain't got to be worried about being extinct. You know what I mean? They get 3-4 meals a day or whatever they supposed to eat. Shelter. You know what I mean? They like, hell, I get my salmon. I get my salmon. So, well, before we move on to the next thing, P-Double, the Facebook thing going around was this movie challenge. I want to give a shout-out. This is the Mr. National podcast, Mr. Nash and myself and my man P-Double. Give a shout-out to the Hulk Jim Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Who happened to nominate me for to name my 10 most influential movies. And I just put Top Gun. I said, put that down for 10 times, and that's my movie. You know? He came back and he said, well, why is it influential to you? And I don't know if that's the right word to use. I mean, I like the movie. I mean, if I want to put some more movies on there, Top Gun, I would put The Godfather, Terminator, Witness, it's a Gladiator. It's a few movies that I love, but I don't know if they influenced me to do anything. Because I guess don't look at movies that way. So.
Right.
I didn't go to it in the post that the Hulk Jim Davis put out. So I told him, I said, I'll go over it on the next podcast.
Oh, awesome, awesome.
So
we got one listener certainly going to tune in.
That's certainly going to tune in. And yeah, my boy, the Hulk, out in Michigan, in Detroit. But yeah, I don't influence you. I don't think movies influence me, P-Double. I mean, growing up, I got, Mom and Dad, I guess that was the influential part,
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, you know, like some people it can influence. Like, for me, it influenced me. Like, I want to make movies because I've made a couple of animated movies,
Nice.
So I have my list that are definitely...
Awesome. Well, I'm going to nominate you right now. Here we go.
Ten's not enough, but I can give you some off the top of my head. Pulp Fiction's number one. Remember Pulp Fiction?
Do I remember? I think that movie, 1994, it should have won Movie of the Year, but it lost to Forrest Gump.
Right. Forrest Gump is another one that's easily on that list. I think that was a groundbreaking movie.
How can one person be in all that stuff?
Right.
He would be like 150 years old.
But Shawshank Redemption is a great movie.
Didn't see that one yet.
What? Oh, my goodness. Oh, man.
I'm so busy doing the podcast.
How many times have you watched Top Gun?
18,000 times.
But see, like you said, movies don't hold that place for you.
I love them, but they didn't influence. Like you said, that influence is a big word. I mean,
Unforgiven. The Western.
I love
modern,
that. That's one of my
favorite. Western. Yeah.
Clint Eastwood, Gene Hackman, Morgan Freeman.
Yep.
He should have armed himself if he's going to decorate his saloon with my dear friend.
This is awesome.
That was an awesome movie.
Yep. So that's another one of the great ones is The Usual Suspects.
Okay, that was Mr. Brown.
That's Reservoir Dogs. Yeah, which is a great movie as well.
Unusual Suspects was Kaiser Sose.
Yep.
Great verbal kick.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that could be number one easy. All of these movies right here that I'm naming it to you are number one.
Right.
Now I'm going to move on to number two.
Right, you already ran off like five or six. We could do a whole show on P-Double's movies, what I mean?
Oh, goodness gracious. So, yeah, anyway, let's get back to the list, man.
All right, so influential was my Top Gun movie, and I said put on it 10 times. So, Jim, that's my shout-out to you. Movies don't influence Mr. National. He's too lazy to take it. Didn't make me want to be a fighter pilot or nothing. So, no, it didn't influence me. I just liked the movie. You know what I mean?
Yep. What about the dance off update? We need a dance off update.
Dude, it's going. We gotta get on it. We're getting a little lackadaisical with that. We are at Bobby Brown versus Mike. See, really, we just need to get on to the finals. It's Bobby Brown versus Michael Jackson, and then on the other side is Heavy D versus James Brown.
Right.
That's going to be James Brown versus Michael Jackson.
I think that what we need to do is put up a really exclusive poll on the Stack with Nat Show website and get, you know, just our exclusive listeners.
Oh, right. Yeah, right. Get,
to weigh in right. on this
show,
topic.
Show our exclusive listeners and subscribers and supporters some love right. that only they could get to. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
But the dance, the new one that we're coming out with, P-Double, is going to do a vote battle of the boy bands. That's coming
oh,
up.
Oh, that could be huge. That could
that's,
be epic.
That's, yeah, that's the next one. I think it's 32 male groups. Broke wow. off and it's like single. That's the next one. Get ready. Starting this right. weekend, we're going to start doing that one.
Wow.
Battle of the boy bands.
Wow, we're going to start back with the Jackson 5, go all the way to New Edition and Backstreet
right,
Boys.
Right, right. I don't think the Jackson 5, because they would be too... I don't know if they're in it. I got to see the list. I'm going to give you a sneak peek into it.
Boy bands started way back here's some in the day, man.
Here's some of them. Jodeci, Tony, the Jonas Brothers, Jagged Edge, After 7, High Five, Shy, and Hanson. That's Ooh. 8 that's in one group. Here's another group. New Edition, NSYNC, LeVert, Force MDs, Blackstreet, Silk, Color Me Bad, and True.
Wow.
That's another group. That's another group. This thing is real. Here's the other eight.
Group C.
Group C. Boyz II Men, One Direction, True Hill, Ready for the World, 98 Degrees, Full Force, Today, and the Boys.
Okay.
Group D, the Backstreet Boys, Guy, BBD, 112, Mint Condition, B2K, H-Town, and As Yet.
Group D is the group of death right there, man.
A lot of R&B, a lot of New Jack Swing in there.
Yeah.
We're going to start breaking it down.
Wow.
Yep.
It's going to be epic.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. On the Stack with Nat show, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right. So all right. What else we got? What else we got on our podcast?
So the Cars with Blocks. Just want to touch on that briefly before we get to the MFCA. Cars with Blocks.
Do you guys have that in Michigan? Or like,
I haven't seen that in years. But I've been right. living in the burbs too long.
That might be it. I mean, man, I drove by like within two days.
This is on your block or?
No, not on my block. I mean, whoa, Mr. National's upscale a little bit. it's not far. You know, it's over a few blocks and across a couple streets, and I ran into like boom. I'm like, damn, what happened? The first one, the cop car, it must have just happened. It had been raining that night. So I guess, you know, it's raining, it was bad storm. I guess that's the time to do it. You jump out with four cinder blocks, and you just take off four wheels and nobody saw anything. That's crazy. So I saw the woman out there on the phone and the cops were there taking down a report. I was like, man, that's crazy. So then like 2 days later, I'm riding around and I see another car and it was on blue crates. It was like a Honda. I said, what the hell's going on?
Wow. I haven't experienced that since I lived in Rust City.
Right.
That was, you know, but that was a long time ago. So I had forgotten about it, really.
Cars on blocks. That's like,
you
know.
Roll up with your blocks, put the car up on it, and take the wheels off.
And take the wheels off, dude. That's what I said. You got to be ballsy.
What are they going for, the metal?
I guess they want the wheels. Maybe it was fancy rims on. That's what I was like wondering. What kind of rims did they have? Did they have rims? Was it the tires? One person said it could have been a jealous boyfriend. Was like, you know, they broke up with the girl. Like, you ain't keeping my rims, bitch. I'm taking my shit. You know what I mean? So I don't know what it was, but
back when I lived in Flint. Metal was in demand. Like you could take it to the junkyard and sell it, you know.
The rim?
Yeah, it was any kind of metal. And the reason it was such a controversy was because GM was moving out of that area, General Motors.
Okay. Okay.
So they were leaving these factories, and people were going in there and, you know, scavenging these factories and taking the metal out.
Okay, gotcha.
And sell it on the black market, you know what I mean?
Jeez. So, well, yeah, I don't think it's that serious here, though, P-Dub. I just think it's just for the rims and the tires. Yeah, it was crazy. Hey, dude, you look out your window, you see somebody up there on your car, you going into the closet, you grabbing the shelves. The official weapon of the Mr. National podcast, the 12-gauge Mossberg. You know what I mean? You just go to the door, and then they going. You might not even have to fire it, brother. You might not have to fire it. Get away from my vehicle.
Well, we got to move on. I got about 5 minutes for the MFC update, or what's going on.
All right. We're going to end this show, the Mr. National podcast, with the MFCA. And frankly, I have no idea.
Oh, no.
Like, I mean, it's that. Well, we do know. We had Mr. Weird Wolf Lynn Schmidt on the show, and he said he's stepping back. So right. He's out of the equation. He'll help run the Twister, which is coming up.
Right.
Just book my flight, P-Double.
Nice.
Mr. National is going to Kansas City to compete in the Twister. Okay. Wolf will be there. I will get more information from Kelly. Mm-hmm. And Wolf themselves, find out what's going on. I'll talk to my man, Darrell Brevard, who runs the Clash in Maryland. But as far as I know, the MFCA name is changing. They've even changed it on the Facebook page. It's not the miniature football no more. It's just the electric football. I forget the name of it.
The center.
So it's changed. I think it got to do with Tudor Games and Doug. I think he's throwing his weight around. I think,
Okay.
I think it's, you know what I mean? Maybe it's pulling too much away from his thing. I don't know. And I'm cool with Doug Strom, owner. I know him pretty well. But I think maybe he was just, let's shut that down. We don't need that. Let's make it all electric football. And since Wolf works for him,
right.
Wolf is, that's what he's doing. So
right.
Those guys, MFCA, the whole TOC thing isn't going anywhere. Those guys are still going to keep their tournament going.
And like Wolf said, it's a hobby now, so there's a whole community built around it that's not going anywhere.
Oh, no, it's not going anywhere. It's just the name. It's just instead of being the MFCA TOC, it'll just be the TOC.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just a name, you know what I mean? Yeah. So folks out there that play the electric football game, don't worry. Keep booking your ticket. And the championship, the world championships will still be the same weekend, last weekend of July, and it'll be for the world championship. They'll be playing for a ring. Everything's the same.
Somebody be trying to beat Adrian Baxter.
Right, exactly. The back-to-back it's like this, P-Double. It's like those stadiums when they were going through all them name changes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was the end of the world. It was the end of the world. No more Texas Stadium. Now it's AT&T.
It's
bigger and better.
Like the banks. First it was Core States. Then it was first Pennsylvania. Then it goes Wells Fargo. Then it's Santander. You know what I mean? where the Flyers and Sixers played, that place must have had 8 different names since it's been built.
Right, right.
So that's all that's happening with the MFCA, the TOC. The name's changing. Coaches will still be the same. Same passion. Same competitiveness. Nothing's changed.
Right on. Awesome.
Right. Don't get scared, Pete. Don't start selling your collection yet. You know what I mean? Don't do it. Well, folks, I think that's a wrap. That was a good show. Hey, we try to make everyone good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Better than the last one. That's our goal. Each show better than the next. And this, I tell you what, Pete, this is the first one we've done in two weeks. Just me and you.
Yep.
No special guests, no special effects.
And I love the fact that you play hurt. Oh,
yeah. Right. I ain't even going to get into the injury bug. I'll wait till I'm healed to even go back. Right. Ain't even going into that. You know what I mean? Injury, are you hurt or are you injured?
Right.
That's what it is. I can play. Well, folks, this is the Mr. National Podcast, the MNP, saying good night, goodbye, see you tomorrow. My man P-Double, we out of here.
Peace.
Peace.